special day. Some of us have been praying and fasting for this day. Maybe you didn't know about it. You couldn't have been a part of that if you wouldn't have known, I suppose. But we're praying for God to really do something dynamic in the lives of everyone here. The Holy Spirit has a way to do that. He can take an average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill person and turn them into something useful in his hands, something powerful, not for that person's glory, but for his. That's what we're talking about today, is the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about prophecy fulfilled last week. We talked about the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the first week, and today we're going to talk about the empowerment God has for us today, the Holy Spirit today. If you would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for what we're about to talk about, because it involves you. It involves you, Holy Spirit. You're just as much God, Holy Spirit. Jesus, you're just as much God. You're all three together, part of the same Godhead. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can honor you today with openness. Open our minds, God, that we might understand the Scripture. Open our hearts that we might be obedient to your will. Father, I bind every spirit of fear. I bind every spirit of ignorance, misunderstanding. Father, all those kinds of baggage that we can bring in when we start talking about the Holy Spirit. Father, we know it's not spooky. We know it's truth. We know it's for today. We know it's your power. And Father, you wanted it so much for your believers back then that you said, don't even leave without it. And Father, we're here today, and we say, Lord, we don't want to leave here without you. We don't want to leave here without more of you. Teach us, show us, fill us, empower us. Not that we can gloat in our power, but that we might glorify your name. Always, God, that people might see you and know you because of what you've done in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Pentecost Sunday, Pinkster Day, as we say, Pinksterdag in Nederland. And that's what we're celebrating today. And I can't think of a better day to celebrate also baptism in the Holy Spirit. 2,000 years ago, in the upper room, there were approximately 120-ish people waiting for what Jesus had promised, the gift of the Father. And he said, it's the promise. You know, when God promises something, he doesn't make it up. He doesn't tease us just to say, I've got these wild ideas, but ha ha ha. Just joking. God says, no, I've got this for you. It's the promise of the Father, Jesus said. I go that another may come. I mean, Jesus, can you imagine walking with Jesus? Can you imagine being there with him for those 3 years of ministry till he was crucified and was resurrected and went to the Father? Can you imagine walking with him in those days? And yet Jesus says, I go that another may come. It's profitable to you that I do this. And that's what we're talking about today. That very thing that Jesus is talking about, that very person of God called the Holy Spirit, who he said will guide us and lead us in all truth. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of garbage in the world, and I need truth. I want to be guided in the things that matter, not the things that waste my thought and my time, but the things that glorify God. And the good thing is, it's not just for those people then, it was for all generations to come and all who would call on Jesus to be Lord. It's a gift, it couldn't be earned, it couldn't be learned, it just was given, and it's for us. And he said it would be necessary to be filled with the Spirit, to have the boldness to give that message of life in a more thorough, complete way. Now look, if you're here today and you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you say, well, this is a prejudiced message. No, not unless you are prejudiced against the Holy Spirit. Can you witness to people? You bet. You can be born again, witness to people. Great. Know a lot of people that do. That's not a problem. But why wouldn't you want the power God says we could have to do it better? And after all, I don't save, you don't save, Jesus saves. And it takes the Holy Spirit to come in and penetrate a person's heart. In other words, our words are like, boom. They fall. They don't do much. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to do what we can't do, all for his glory. So the overview and purpose of Acts is simple. I shared this a week ago, how the Holy Spirit is empowering believers to share the gospel message to all people everywhere, and how this gifting is for all who know him as Lord and Savior. And it's our birthright. If we're born again in Jesus, and those of you that are, you know what I'm talking about. If you have that personal relationship with Jesus that you can have, that everyone can have, when we admit we need him, and we ask him to forgive us, and he comes into our life when we're sincere. When we have that, that's our birthright for every believer to seek and expect and experience the same baptism that was poured out 2,000 years ago on the believers there. And Jesus says, it's for all time. It's for your children and for their children. And it's for all who are afar off. It's for every generation. It doesn't stop because the book has dry ink. The book of Acts is a continuation of the ministry of the church via the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to show that. 2:30, that was the power verse from last week. There we go. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, people get hung up on that word tongues, you know, like, you know, what, interplanetary travel time, you know. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, not as they enabled themselves, but the Spirit enabled them. What a scene. 120 people gathered together, praying, by the way. You know, isn't it funny? The Holy Spirit seems to show up when people are praying or praising. You want an ingredient for the power of the Holy Spirit to show up is be a worshiper. And here at the end, we're going to do some extended worship because we have to prepare our heart for what God wants to do. Because when we worship God with abandon, with sincerity, from the depth of our heart, God's attracted to that. God loves that. He wants to bless his children, you see? And when we're praying, what are we doing? We're talking to the Father. We're connected. God likes that too. That's the way we get God's attention. And God says, now I've got something for you. So you got 120 people. The wind blows in. The fire from heaven circles over their heads. I can't imagine what that must have appeared to them. They had no idea what to expect. Now, we have the Bible. We've got the book of Acts. It says exactly what we should know about the Holy Spirit. These guys, all Jesus said was, go, stay, don't leave Jerusalem without it. You're going to be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and on all the ends of the earth, right? He says that. But he says, go, you're going to receive this. Nate, what's that? Holy Spirit? I mean, they don't know about tongues. There's no seminars. There's no TV preachers from the USA wearing white suits. You know, all they know about is, okay, Jesus, I'm going to do this. So they didn't even know what to expect. God was doing something new. A new dimension in ministry was about to happen. They heard that it was coming. But no one knew what to expect because John the Baptist, remember, he'd been going around preaching, you know, repentance. And in matter of fact, Matthew 3:11, I think you have that as well, says, here's John the Baptist. He goes, you know what? I baptize you with water for repentance. That's what John's baptism was about, repentance. But after me comes one who's more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Thus, there in the upper room, tongues of fire came down from heaven. You hear people talking about, you know, we have that slang, I'm on fire for God. Not that they're literally burning, you know, it's no barbecue time there, but that's what it means. It means I'm so full of what God wants to do, I can hardly contain it. So that was the scenario. Jesus was crucified, resurrected. He reappeared to his disciples. They knew Jesus, but they had not been given that breath of life yet that only God could provide. We talked about that in the beginning. in the first week. God breathed on, Jesus breathed on the disciples. When he was reappeared to them after his resurrection, he had to breathe into them the seal of the Holy Spirit, which is what the Holy Spirit does when we're regenerated, when we ask Christ into our heart. The Bible says he forgives us. He puts the seal of the Holy Spirit on us. What? As a guarantee for things to come. Heaven. Not just heaven, but our future now on earth. And so Jesus breathed on them, and they became new creations and forgiven and ransomed. And that preceded, though, this upper room experience. And we all need to experience that baptism in, not just by, but in. We need to be full, filled up inside with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the normal progression that Christ established before he went to heaven. And the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is found in one power verse that we had 2 weeks ago. And I've been saying it a little bit even as we've been talking. Acts 1:8, maybe you can say it with me. But after the Holy Spirit. Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. Okay, so that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Is that God says, I want to empower you to be my witness. If I want to be like someone, I don't want to be like Lady Gaga, number one, that's a woman. That's a good reason right there. I want to be like Jesus. I want to do what he did. I want to be like him. He walked around these guys for 3 years. Why? Because he said, watch what I do. Because I'm going to pass it to you next. And now you need this to get the job done. The ministry continues. My ministry is being fulfilled through you, is what Jesus is saying. I may be away, but I'm not away. I'm watching. And I'm empowering you with the Holy Spirit to do the rest. And we get to be a part of that. Praise God for that. That's exciting. We don't just get saved and sit down and go, okay, what else? You know, what time's McDonald's open? I mean, we don't. No, we get to be a part of something that's active and alive and prosperous and has eternal profits, which is Jesus and heaven. You know, another thing, though, the Holy Spirit is not a remedy for laziness. Oh, I've got the Holy Spirit now. I got to do, well, let's see what's on TV. And, you know, it's not a remedy for laziness. It still takes our participation to get involved. If you notice, he said, you will be my witnesses in other places. That requires going, just like the team that's here from Texas today. It requires doing something about it. It requires speaking to your neighbor. It requires looking for opportunities. In Acts 4, you know, Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, which is a religious court, the synagogue, religious guys, and they didn't like this Jesus message. They didn't like the idea of what they were saying, this king. They couldn't understand that, you know, that heavenly king, the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. And they had to give an account for this crippled man that they had healed, and it just raised quite a problem. So they brought them in before this court. And I like what it says here. Then Peter. Yeah, it says, if we were being called today to account for an act of kindness shown to this man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, and know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. He's the stone you builders rejected and has become the cornerstone. He says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which he must be saved. Revelation knowledge. That happened because Peter was, you notice the beginning, it says he was full of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4 when he spoke to them, if you read in that whole chapter. And I love the Sanhedrin's response in the next verse, in verse 13, when they heard it spoken with such power, it says this. They saw the courage of Peter and John. You ever feel like a chicken when it comes to the gospel? Well, here, these guys, they bring them before the court. They said, nah, 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 nah. And you heard Peter's little speech, right? And that's part of it. when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, these guys were just slobs, you know, unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. Why, how do these people talk like this? And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Witness time right there. Filled with the Holy Spirit, these guys were transformed, and now they can say, whoa, these guys are just average people like us. Isn't that great to know that God says you can be average, and I love you, I can use you the way you are. You can be ordinary, but God says, I see something in you that you can't see in yourself. I can use you, but you're going to need some extra help. You're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you'll just serve me, I can take your life and I can raise the bar. And that's exactly what Jesus did. You know, so many today, I think, in churches, we settle for church attendance, if that, you know, not even regularly. Kind of go, well, I guess I'll go. You know, so often today we see that. Or saying a prayer to ask Jesus to forgive, which is really good if you mean that, of course. But so many, it just kind of stops there. It's kind of like, good, well, okay, well, if we have membership, maybe I'll do that. Okay, I can be a part of the greeter team, you know, hospitality team. By the way, that's a great way. How many like to get hugged? Okay, the rest of you are frigid. How many of you like to give hugs? Okay. Hopefully it's probably the same people. We could use you next door 15 minutes after the service. Little plug, okay? And, you know, it's not enough, though, just to come and do the little things. Just to have attendance. And that's where it stops for so many. And Jesus said there's more. And he said, we need to wait, we need to seek, we need to anticipate, we need to want something from God, we need to press in. And there were people in the New Testament that Paul had talked to who were exactly like what we see today so often in churches. And I'm not poking fun at any church. I can poke fun at this church, you know. Maybe we've all been there before, just kind of sitting there, taking up space, sucking up everyone's oxygen, you know what I mean, just sitting there. And not really participating. And Jesus said, it's not enough. I've got plans better than this. Why do you settle for this? Settle for the club mentality when I've got life that needs to be preached. And I want to use you to do it. In Luke 24:45, you don't have it on the screen, but I love that scripture. If you're a person that likes to take notes, not that I'm any great theologian, but the Bible is, you can look these up for yourself. Then he opened their minds and they could understand the scriptures. You know, I was praying that yesterday. I was praying that this morning. Lord, open our minds. This is a problem, isn't it? Open our minds. Who are we with our arrogance to think that we know better than God? Lord, open our minds that we might understand what you already know. That's all Jesus is trying to get across to them. Well-meaning believers, they just didn't know what else Jesus had for them. And look what happened in Acts 19. Here's Paul over in Ephesus. Says this, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast where he found believers, okay? These were believers. That's pretty plain. They found believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. But then what baptism did you experience? Yes, they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, like we talked about earlier, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied. Don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. You mean there's more? Yeah. And they got more. You got a feeling, though, they were probably open for more. They wanted more. See, God's not stingy, but he's also not stupid. He entrusts things to people that want what he has, that are going to be stewards of what he gives. And when we really say, God, I want to serve you better, Paul said, let me lay hands on you and you'll receive more. There's more. At the end of the service today, we're going to lay hands on people. Not like, we're doing it gently. And we're not pushing people. I don't have a white suit. I don't have a comb over haircut. I don't have hair to comb over. Doesn't matter. We're going to pray for people and we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to do something that these people needed, and so did we. Now, we're not going to make people. He's got to want that. God knows who wants and who doesn't. But when we're hungry and thirsty for more, God says, I can do this. And you notice, they spoke in other tongues, there's that word again, and they prophesied. They began to declare the wonders of God. That's pretty cool. And if you, we're not going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there's a whole list of them that God can do that are really cool. Things like healing. It's good stuff. And God can do it through us. You know, another issue we need to clear up really quick is the fact that as Christians, so often we find Christ, we do all the things, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to speak in other tongues, and then we go, okay, did that. It's like we got little badges every time we get something, and God says, wait, you can be refilled, you know. There is more. I heard a guy say once, you know why we need to be refilled? Because we leak. Like a bucket with holes in it. Sometimes we just like, you know, you need something to like build you up a little bit. God knows that. He says, I want to help you. I want to give you more. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it's easy. You know, we saw where they received the Holy Spirit for the first time. But it also shows in Acts 4 where the guys who had already been filled with the Holy Spirit once are now being filled again. They're getting a refreshing. You know how it happened? These guys have been out preaching. They've been told again, no, bad boys. Don't talk anymore about this Jesus. And they prayed and listened to their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They didn't run and go, I guess we can't do that anymore, guys. We've got to close down the club. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. See, why do they want to do it? For him. And after they prayed, novel thought, these guys are getting, you know, roasted for serving Jesus, and they decide to pray. The place where they were meeting was shaken. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They got what they asked. Remember up at the front? Help us to speak even more, God. The Holy Spirit came. These guys were already filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came again and just bolstered where they were in Christ. You know what I mean? Does it make you more spiritual? Not necessarily. Does it make you a better person? Doesn't change your character. Hopefully it'll make you want to change your character to be a better witness. But it does give you the boldness to do the things that God has for you. And for me and for anyone. All great examples, you know, of what God has and more. Let me explain to you a little bit about what's going to happen. We're going to worship God. You know, they prayed, the place was shaken. There's also stories in the Bible where they were praying about midnight and God sent another earthquake, and it says even they were in jail with chains around them in the center cell. Well, no one could get to them. I mean, as protected as they could be from jailbreak. And it says the Holy Spirit sent an earthquake there, and it says their chains fell off. And the jailer even came in, was ready to kill himself because he knew that if these guys got away, he's done. So he's just going to kill himself. And they said, no, don't go so far. We're still here. Not one is left. And the guy cried out, what must I do to be saved? And it all happened because they were singing and praying when they were in a place that most people wouldn't want to sing and pray. And here again, these guys getting beat up for what they believe, they pray and God, and say, God, give us more. And God does. And he'll do that today. If you're here today and you are born again, you've asked Jesus in your heart, you know, Read Romans chapter 10. You can find out what it means to be born again, about confessing Christ as your Lord. If you've done that and asked Him to come in your heart and you're a born-again person and you're not filled with the Spirit, today, God says, I've got something else. Don't settle for just where you're at. I've got more. If you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, God can do more in your life. I think I shared last week in Argentina. I shared that story when I was prayed over in front of a tent. And I'd already been filled with the Spirit. But God really, I mean to tell you, it was like I went from being like this full to being this full, you know? And there was more. I could always do more. God always has more. One of the things we have to understand is you've got to have that true relationship with Jesus. You've got to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, like in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Our Father only knows how to give good gifts for His children. You need to understand that too. That's Luke 11:13. Faith is essential. We have to come expecting we're going to get something from God. You can read about that in James 1:6 through 7. If we come believing, He will come through. Positioning ourselves to receive. You can read about that in Psalm 63, verse 4. We need to come. You know, I've seen people, they come and they say, okay, God, hit me. It's like WWF. It's like you're going to wrestle with God here. You're challenging God to a duel. What's this? No, you act like you need Him and you respect Him and you actually want something. And not only that, but you expect to receive what you come asking for. It's important stuff. You know, I've seen people do this. It's like, okay, we're going to pray. You're going to be going to speak in new tongues. And they go, it's like, man, glue. I mean, it's like, you want God to come. And this isn't like, you know, the crocodile hunter. Where, you know, we're not going to pry your mouth open. You've got to cooperate with the things, with God. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, the Bible says. We're in control. God doesn't make you to a robot. And He doesn't want a robot. He just wants your participation, your cooperation, to believe that He has good things and you trust Him with that. It's not too much to ask. So when people come forward and say, hey, lift your hands up. Begin to worship God. We're going to pray. And we're going to lay hands on you. And when we lay hands on you, you need to believe that God's going to give you that because you're asking for it. And because He loves you too. God's no respecter of persons. Now, I will say, I've seen this happen. Although in the Bible, we read so often, matter of fact, all the time, when they're prayed to receive the Holy Spirit, they always spoke in other tongues, and usually right then at that moment. But I will say, if you're one of those that's been prayed to receive that before, or if today you're like, I want to be able, but nothing's there, don't go away discouraged. Don't go away disappointed. Don't think that God's looking at you like, pfft. God is still doing something. If you were sincere, I've seen, like my wife, 2 weeks later, she didn't even know. She came forward. She thought she was getting saved again. And she got prayed for the Holy Spirit. And everyone else is like, blah, 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 you know, in tongues and stuff and responding to the Holy Spirit. And she's like, okay. She went home. I think she was taking a shower. And all of a sudden, shalatakomataya, you know, starts going in this heavenly language. And you know what? God's not embarrassed to see you in the shower. I think He made you. He already knows what you look like. God can visit you wherever. The point is, when you ask, you will receive. And if you will continue to believe that, God wants to do that in your life. He cares, because He cares about them too. And He knows you'll be bold to do that. So those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. I remember the first time someone prayed for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I sounded like a motorboat. I was like, I had all the spiritual women around me. I don't know why I always get these women. I remember when I first came to Christ, all these women circled me in the hall, and they were like fluttering, like I call them the hens, and around me and trying to get me to, where'd you got saved? You know, all that stuff. And If you're a guy, that's really like, oh. But I remember all these women praying for me. And these were like the spiritual titans of the church. You know, these people, they were Mrs. God. You know what I'm saying? And they're praying for me. And they're like, oh, Heavenly Father. And I'm like, you know. And the devil lies to me and says, you're an idiot. These people are going to, you're going to be exposed for who you are. You don't, you're not a good Christian. You're not a, you know what I mean? All this stuff. They're like all this lavish language I've never heard before in my life coming out of them, divinely inspired. And I'm like, and all I can do is go, boo, 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 boo. It's like, boo, 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 boo. You know, you might as well just sing through a fan or something. I was just like, boo, boo. And the devil lied to me and said, you look like a fool. These people are going to judge you for that, all this stuff. And I just like, I didn't know what to do, actually. I was just kind of in the middle. And finally, I just kept going, blah, 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 blah. And as stupid as that sounded, the minute I kept going on and persevered, God saw my intention. And the devil, who was lying to me, saying I was not qualified, you know, all that junk, begins to back away, and all of a sudden, you know, it starts just flowing out of me. And the devil took off at that point. I share that with you because I know how this works. And I know what happened to me is not peculiar to other people as well. You just need to be prepared that, look, God said it's for you. It's a gift. You don't earn it. It's given. God wants you to know, and the way we know, by speaking in other tongues, that's the evidence to us that we've been born again. I mean, filled with the Spirit, I'm sorry. That we've been full of the Holy Spirit. You know, Psalm 149:6 says, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. When we worship God, we're not only praising Him, but we're causing damage in the heavenly realms. The kingdom of darkness does not like this. You know, it never fails. When we start talking about Holy Spirit here, things happen. We saw the guy out there earlier. He's waving a little smoke thing in the window. It's like, yeah. The devil's such a fool. You know, God's got things for us. And nothing's going to keep that from happening. The devil will try all he can to disrupt and to keep us from getting what God has for us. After all, what does he come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his game. God comes to give life. Jesus came to give life. The Holy Spirit is here. Why don't we stand? Holy Spirit, we ask that you come into this place, God, fresh today. As we worship you, Lord, penetrate the darkness. Penetrate the religious spirit that sometimes hardens our hearts. Soften us, God, that we might understand. Open our minds that we might understand the bigger picture of what you have for us, God. Oh, Lord, we're here just to worship you. We're here to worship you, God. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. As we do these songs here in the next few minutes, why don't you just really forget about all the other stuff, the worries you came in with, the person you're standing next to, it doesn't matter. Just begin to worship him. Open your heart. Get in a position. Get ready. Get in a position. Try raising your hands, singing. Maybe getting on your knees, whatever it takes, but just let him know that you love him and you adore him and you think he's the best thing ever.